This is Krista Umgelter from Feel Good in Body, Mind, Heart, and Spirit. Today I'm going to share with you my blog article, Four Surprising Ways to Control, Manage, or Remove Pain, while also encouraging full recovery and healing. Nothing stops time better than pain. It captures a person's full undivided attention and is a powerful catalyst for all types of change. Pain indicates a problem and is a cry for help. Think of a newborn baby. When babies need something, they cry, scream, or make a ruckus. Parents or caretakers move about guessing what the problem might be and delivering the goods. As soon as the baby's needs at that moment are addressed, he or she calms. If the baby continues to be upset, then caretakers instinctively know they haven't delivered what the baby is wanting at that moment. Body pain is similar to that newborn baby. When the body needs something, it cries out in pain, and when its needs are met, the pain subsides. Body pain, like that of a baby's cry, is calling out to be heard, noticed, and cared for in a loving way. Pain medications are wonderful, but they don't come without their dark secrets, such as addiction. The biggest secret is that one few people ever mention. Pain medications relieve the pain, but they contain no resources the body needs to repair the site of imbalance and injury, such as enzymes, which clean, repair, and build, proteins, which are building blocks, carbohydrates, which provide the energy to do the work, vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, blood flow, cellular balance, and more. None of those are in pain medications. Pain medications remove the pain and allow a person to be relaxed, a very important role in healing. But they offer not one single material source that the body needs to actually do the healing work. Everything is important for proper healing: medical care, healthy whole foods, proper hydration, rest, lifestyle choices, avoiding irritants, supplements, and more. While there are many multiple and variable ways to heal pain, below I share four surprising yet effective ways to control, manage, or remove pain while also encouraging full recovery. Epsom salts, baths and soaks, castor oil packs applied externally, therapeutic magnets with or without enzymes, cellular spin and rhythm. If one or more of these pique your curiosity, then keep listening. Follow your hunches, which are usually filled with much guidance and wisdom. Over the years, these suggestions are often met with a lot of disbelief and even hostility. Repeatedly, I am told, if these are so effective, then why didn't the experts tell me about it? I have spent thousands of dollars. Why is something that costs $10 going to work? My pain has been there for years. I live with it, and it will never go away. How is something I can safely do at home strong enough to heal my body? Maybe these reflections are also the reasons why experts haven't mentioned them: safe, effective, inexpensive, and easy. Or maybe experts make the false assumption that clients have exhausted all the inexpensive home methods without success and are now seeking the options that require professional assistance. Different sites of pain respond to different methods. Follow your hunches and let your body guide you. My mom has problems with her ankle, knees, and shoulder. The castor oil worked for her ankle, the magnets for her shoulder, and the cellular spin and rhythm worked for her knees. Each method harmonizes different imbalances. While one method may be sufficient, there are times when a combination of several will be required. No matter what a person believes about a remedy, if it meets the body's needs, the body will respond in favorable ways. Epsom salt, magnesium sulfate, bath, or soak. Epsom salt is actually a mineral, magnesium sulfate. It's a magnesium plus a sulfur plus an oxygen. It isn't actually a salt, as its name leads us to believe. The skin is one of the biggest body organs, and absorbing Epsom salt, magnesium sulfate, through the skin into the bloodstream often produces desired results. The water should be comfortably warm for relaxation, but not so hot that the body shifts into perspiration mode in an effort to cool. Sweating is the body's cooling system. A body in perspiration mode is expelling. Think of a sauna. The goal of an Epsom salt magnesium sulfate bath is to absorb. For this to happen, the water must be warm enough, but not too much. If you are moving legs and arms out of the bath water to get some cooling relief, then the water is just too hot for any benefits of absorbing anything through the skin, because it is in expelling mode. Baths and water create a weightlessness for the body, and this entirely changes blood circulation and flow. This shift in blood flow is often critical, curative, and allows healing. A bath will create a different result than a foot, hand, or sit soak, when only the feet, hands, or rump is in the water. One may be more suitable than another. Test out the options and see which your body responds to best. Soak time is typically 30 to 60 minutes. Use only pure, food-grade quality Epsom salts with nothing else added. Avoid scented and fragrant Epsom salts. Use essential oils if the scent is needed. Various locations now sell good quality and high quality Epsom salts for very reasonable prices. The quantity of Epsom salt magnesium sulfate needed depends on your specific body, the needs, and conditions. Optional suggestions: adding baking soda to the Epsom salt bath and soak may boost desirable results. Dry brushing activates blood circulation to the skin while also increasing lymphatic drainage, both of which increase the potential benefits of Epsom salt magnesium sulfate absorption. I dry brush every day, but I do the technique on wet skin because it is more comfortable and easier for me to do it that way. I haven't noticed a difference in results between dry or wet. Try things out and see what works best for your body. Shower water filters to remove chlorine, which is a systemic irritant for some people's bodies. Having an Epsom salt magnesium sulfate bath with chlorine removed from the water may increase the benefits. The filters are inexpensive and easy to install, $25 initial cost, and about $15 every 6 months for the filter replacement, and a few minutes time to fit the unit on a standard shower piping. Important: there is a lot of controversy about Epsom salt magnesium sulfate baths for diabetics. Some swear it is dangerous, and others swear it is miraculous. Each diabetic knows their body, state of function, and diabetes condition. Do your own research on the subject to determine how this could affect your specific body, to determine if it is appropriate. Try a weaker concentration for your first few trials. If your body is very sensitive, then start with a very weak concentration of Epsom salts to see how you do. Pay careful attention to how your body was before, during, and after to determine its effects. Double and cross-check your conditions with Epsom salt, magnesium sulfate. Each medical condition is so unique, and so too is your body. Read and research to determine and see the associated benefits and risks. Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate, is not the same thing as magnesium oil, which is magnesium chloride. One may work for you, while the other does not. I am only addressing Epsom salts, which is magnesium sulfate, but investigate magnesium oil if this piques your curiosity. My experiences. When my body begins to give me the signs that I am headed towards a Crohn's disease and ulcerative pancolitis crisis, I immediately begin taking high concentration Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate baths and soaks. Fairly quickly my body will calm. I often have to do them daily, along with many other things that I know my body needs at those times, until the signs and symptoms of a looming crisis begin to fade. While I can't prove it, I am fairly certain Epsom magnesium sulfate baths have kept me from being admitted to the hospital, not just on one occasion, but so far they have consistently, along with everything else I do, been a key aspect to enabling me to ride out the looming storm. Epsom salt magnesium sulfate may or may not work for others with my conditions. I hesitated to share this information because it may or may not be the answer for someone else, and it is important for each person to listen to and honor what their body is telling them. Know the difference between your body's need for a lot of home care versus it needing hospital care. Castor oil packs. Cloth soaked with castor oil, which is applied to and left on the skin at the site of injury or pain. Castor oil packs have been used for hundreds of years because they work. Castor oil, also called Palma Christi, comes from the castor bean. Its history and various cultural uses are fascinating. Applied on the skin at the site of internal pain and injury as a castor oil pack, the body makes use of its myriad powerful properties in miraculous ways. It increases blood circulation, seems to remove stagnation. Think of a murky pond, which becomes a clear flowing stream after castor oil packs have been applied, while cleaning up the area for rebuilding. Think of a garbage collection team coming through to clean up trash and debris for new glorious construction to take place. My focus is on the external application, but I would like to mention that castor oil used internally, swallowed, is known for its ability to dislodge stubborn fecal impactions located in the cecum, which is the first part of the large intestine in your lower right abdominal area, and ascending colon. If you set out to really use castor oil, do read the book by William A. McGarry, or look into how Edgar Cayce used it. Almost all of Edgar Cayce's books mention the use of the Palma Christi, or the castor oil. What you need: organic castor oil. Anything used for healing should be as pure and organic as possible. Flannel. Clean, no-dye flannel that has been washed with safe, free and clear laundry soap. The flannel size should be big enough to fold over a few times for a given location. Food-grade plastic. Only use food-grade plastic. Some method of keeping the castor oil pack in place. It could be a Velcro neoprene brace, a waist trimmer, a sock, sleeve, or something else. Be creative. Once the castor oil pack is prepared, it can be used over and over again. Store it in a Ziploc baggie between uses and add additional castor oil to the flannel as needed. Castor oil is messy and it stains, so be attentive and make decisions accordingly. Prepare the flannel and place the castor oil pack on the site of pain or injury. It may be a joint, muscle, ovarian cysts, gallbladder function, liver, or other abdominal regions. Do not use castor packs on open wounds. It is okay to place it over minor scratches. Place a much larger piece of food-grade plastic over the castor pack. I cut open gallon-sized food storage bags. Then cover the castor pack and the plastic with whatever is best to keep these securely in place, such as a neoprene brace, waist trimmer, sock, sleeve, or something else. Be creative. This setup allows the castor pack to stay in place at the site of injury and pain as long as needed, while allowing you to move about and live life as usual. Heat or no heat? It is believed that the poisonous resin in castor oil is activated by heat, and many believe a heating pad is essential. I disagree that heat is necessary to achieve the best results from castor oil. Each body, injury, and condition is different. Heat is not better. Hotter doesn't mean faster healing or better healing. Hotter may in fact irritate or aggravate, which will slow down and cause additional trauma for the body. Try without heat and see how your body responds. If desired, do a test with heat and see if there is a difference. The final decision should depend on what the body prefers and responds to. One area may do better with heat, while another area may do better without it. I have found using some sort of neoprene or other wrap keeps the area insulated. This insulation elevates the body temperature just enough, but not too much, while it maintains this exact and perfect temperature. The slightly elevated temperature remains constant without fluctuations. I believe this easier method creates best results for the body, as it creates a very homogeneous, slightly elevated temperature environment. As you try out the different options and variables, your body will respond and let you know which is best for you. How long? There are also various ideas and rules for how long to keep the castor oil pack in place. I am very rule compliant typically, but have over the years come to only let my body dictate to me what it needs and let standardized rules simply be a foundational set point from which to navigate. The typical belief is to never leave castor oil packs on the liver area for more than 45 minutes. At times when I was in a lot of pain, I left it over my liver area for upwards of 15 hours. I always take it off as soon as my body says it has had enough. I am not worried or concerned about the castor oil pack being on too long because my body becomes very uncomfortable, edgy, and itchy when it is time to take it off. It actually starts to affect my emotional peace and calm. If I don't hear my body's request right away, it just speaks up louder until I do. I am happy to go to bed with castor oil packs in place too because my body will wake me up out of a deep coma state sleep when it needs to have the castor oil pack taken off. Every time I listen, honor, and do what my body needs, it calms down instantly, just as a baby does when the baby's needs are recognized and addressed. The body will indicate when to put it on and when to take it off. All there is for me to do is to listen and follow directions. I encourage you to do the same. My first experience with using a castor oil pack 24/7 for an injury came after a big fall off a ladder where I injured both knees. But the right knee was severely injured and extremely wobbly after the fall. Before going to the doctor, I thought I would give the castor oil pack a go and see what would happen, without heat. I do not suggest following my example. Listen to your body. Go to the hospital if you need to. The standard instructions for injury were to keep the castor oil pack in place on the site of injury 24/7 until it was fully healed. But after about 20 hours on my knee, I was itching to get it off. I took it off and my knee felt much better. It was surprising that the pain was gone. More surprising was a few hours later, my knee began to hurt with the same injury pain from the fall. So, I put the castor oil pack back on. With curiosity, I noticed the pain subside and my knee became comfortable again. Again, the castor oil pack stayed in place as long as my body didn't object. Some many hours later, I had the same edgy, unsettled, uncomfortable feel, so I took the castor oil pack off. Again, that discomfort subsided and my knee felt better. So it went for about 2 to 3 weeks. The castor oil pack would go on and come off, go on and come off. 24 hours a day I was doing this. I was on no schedule, but the one my body was indicating at each moment. I put it on when my knee injury was in pain, and the pain would subside. When the castor oil pack began to make me uncomfortable and edgy, I would take it off. When the pain returned, I would put the castor oil pack back on. It was great because I didn't even have to think about what I was doing. I just listened and followed my body's instructions. I couldn't forget, because my body would remind me in ways that were undeniably attention-grabbing. One day I took the castor oil pack off, and I never had it on my knee again, because the knee pain never came back. To this day, not only is my right knee better, but it is better today than it was before the accident. I realize this story sounds like a total sales scam, but I am not selling anything. And I have nothing to gain or lose if you do or don't try out this idea. Seasonal, geographic location, weather, moon cycles, solar activity, and more are constantly influencing body function. The body is a mastermind for keeping balance as best possible and is always using its know-how and resources to compensate for all the internal and external variables that influence body function. You don't need to know what, how, when, where, because your body knows. All you have to do is pay attention to your body's signs and signals. Listen, honor, and respond in kind, and the body will respond in kind as well. I say this so much, but I don't believe it can be said enough. Listen to your body. Allow your body to determine the rules. You live in your body 24/7, and you are the expert of your body. Important. Do not use castor oil packs on open wounds at the site of an injury. A minor scratch is okay. Castor oil stains and it is thick, sticky, and messy to handle. Therapeutic magnets. Magnets create energy fields. These fields, when used close to the body, increase blood flow while altering and increasing enzymatic processes. Enzymatic processes are necessary for breaking down injury, scar tissue, or damage, as well as being pivotally essential for rebuilding healthy tissue. Most all therapeutic magnet treatments make use of north-facing side of a magnet. The south side is also used, but far less frequently, and makes use of counter-opposing theories to alter blood circulation and energy flowing through the body by decreasing in one area, south-facing, while increasing in another, north. Using south-facing is a more intricate mapping and understanding of the body. If magnets are new for you, then start easy and simply with north-facing magnets. There are different types of therapeutic magnets. Those which are portable, such as small bars, pads, pillows, or mattress pads, or those which make use of an electrical energy supply to increase the power of the magnetic field. The quality and strength of a magnet varies from one company to another. Each person and each type of injury or pain will benefit from a different strength magnet. Headaches do not require the same strength magnet as would back pain. Magnets not only influence headaches, but stronger magnetic fields around the head have been proven to influence behavior, memory, and brain function. Magnets can erase hard drives. They also influence heart pacemakers. Be aware of their power coupled with your body conditions. Cross and double check if necessary. Every person's body responds differently to magnets, and different parts of the body will also respond in divergent ways to their field. While one person can only sleep well on a magnetic mattress pad, someone different will be incapable of getting any sleep on the same magnetic pad. Different strengths of magnets create different results. Stronger is not better. Each method for healing will result in different variations for each person and each condition. Your body will tell you if magnets are helping or not. Follow the guidance of your body as to how much, how strong, as well as when, how, and where to use them. While I haven't ever read this anywhere, I have come to understand that cells need a certain orientation and direction to function best. My belief is that cells need to be lined up and oriented in a specific way for best function. To complicate this further, I will even go as far to say that the best cell orientation and direction for one person will not be the best for another. I feel the magnetic fields may realign the orientation for certain people whose cells need to be adjusted for proper function, healing, and recovery. I have two magnet book recommendations. The first one is called Magnetic Therapy, the Pain Cure Alternative, by Ron Lawrence, MD, Paul Roche, and Judy Plowden. The second suggestion I have is Biomagnetic and Herbal Therapy by Dr. Michael Tierra. Enzyme Therapy with Magnets. Using enzyme therapy concurrently with magnets can radically improve health recovery for certain people. Again, this is one of my personally believed understandings based on years of study and experience. Scar tissue is a source of pain for many. Why wouldn't it be? Imagine that a scar is like a tangled, snarled knot inside your body that restricts natural and needed flow. It is like a landslide in the middle of an important road. Enzymes taken on an empty stomach at regular intervals throughout the day help the body break down and remove scar tissue. Removing scar tissue allows the body to rebuild healthy tissue that will enable proper flow in and around the body. The magnetic field tells all your body's work crews where to go and keeps that workforce concentrated at the site of injury. If this idea sparks some curiosity or an aha, then I encourage you to give it a good try. A good try for enzymatic treatment is 2 to 3 months. If your body experiences problems, then by all means make adjustments. Change the type of enzyme, quantity, or take a break for 3 to 7 days. Enzymatic therapy may need to be stopped altogether. Listen, honor, and respect what your body is indicating. High fibrolytic protease enzymes are most often used for enzymatic therapy. But serrapeptase is a miracle for many, with damaged tissues, joints, lungs, such as emphysema, and for removing mucus buildup. I can't say this enough. Pay attention to your body. Enzyme therapy is miraculous for some. It may not help others, and it could have undesirable effects for few. About 17 years ago, when I first tried enzyme therapy, the results were absolutely excruciating abdominal pain. I believed in the treatment, though, and some 7 years later, I tried it again, and it worked brilliantly. I am still using and benefiting from enzymatic therapy. Be attentive to the types of enzymes and their source. Each and every variable will influence how the body uses and responds to it. Choose a high-quality product with high fibrolytic units. Milligrams, expressed mg, are useless. Enzyme units should be expressed in thousands, such as 20,000 USP or 83,000 USP. Just because it is expensive doesn't mean it is the best quality or the best option for your body. Spend some time doing research to find the best product for your needs and body. My body performs miracles with protease, amylase, and lipase, but serrapeptase, which is sourced from the gut of the silkworm, bromelain, which is pineapple, or papain, which is papaya, cause a host of undesirable effects in my body. It is not only important, but it is essential for me to avoid these three types of enzymes. If you are sensitive or intolerant to pineapple, you will likely be intolerant of bromelain, but test it to see for sure. The same is true of papaya, because papain is papaya. I use what works for my body, and I avoid what irritates and doesn't. I read labels very carefully. If the labels are unclear, I call the manufacturer. The enzyme book recommendations I can make are these: Enzymes, The Foundation of Life by D. A. Lopez, M.D., R. M. Williams, M.D., and Milky, M.D. The second enzyme book I can recommend is Enzymes, Enzyme Therapy, How to Jumpstart Your Way to Lifelong Good Health by Dr. Anthony J. Chikok. The third and last enzyme book I can recommend is Enzymes, The Key to Health by Howard F. Loomis, D.C. This book is more of an introductory book. Magnetic water. Magnetizing your drinking water is as simple as placing a north-facing magnet under or around a water pitcher or container. Magnetic water is believed to be a very powerful healing method. My opinion on this is simple. If it works for your body, then keep doing it. My experiences. How I stumbled on magnets is as random as is my whole life. It sort of snowballed while reading a book on electromagnetic fields. One paragraph seemingly unrelated to the general subject of the whole book mentioned how magnetic fields influenced enzyme processes. It was like I was struck by a bolt of insight when I read that. I had pancreatic insufficiency. My pancreas wasn't producing enough enzymes. It wasn't clear if my body needed more than normal or if my pancreas was failing. I had a lot of questions. Would the magnets increase and enable normal enzyme processes? Would enzymatic therapy coupled with the magnets increase the amount of resources for healing and recovery? Would the magnets line up my cells correctly in a way that would increase proper function and cellular communication? If placing a magnet on a paperclip, tweezer, or other metal object can line up the molecules so that it too becomes magnetic, then surely the magnet would orient the molecules and possibly my cells. I had heavy metal toxicity, so maybe the heavy metals and minerals were causing the cells to be misaligned. I had no idea, and still don't know. But I knew if I was wrong, my body wouldn't hesitate to scream at me for the error I had made. I instantly bought books on magnets, along with a weak, cheap magnetic pillow pad to test out my idea. I looked a bit ridiculous with a pillow pad wrapped around my midsection, much like the Michelin Man. I learned earlier that it was best to try an experiment on a small scale just in case I was moving in the wrong direction. If my body responds with a no, then at least it isn't a violent, explosive no. After a couple weeks, I didn't think the magnets were doing anything. I took it off. Within a couple hours, the gripping pain in my abdominal area came screaming back. Had the magnets subsided the pain that much? I put the pillow magnet pad back on, and the screaming pain subsided fairly quickly. Okay, the magnets were working. At that point, I went straight online and purchased a very strong therapeutic magnet that penetrated 7 inches of flesh. As soon as it arrived, I positioned it on my tummy and secured it with a very thick Velcro waist trimmer. It stayed there 24/7. The stronger magnet worked even better. For about a year, I wore it on my tummy 24/7. The improvement was so slow. The only way I knew it was really working was because when I took it off, my tummy instantly reverted to the gripping pain. When I put the magnets back on, everything calmed right away. The progress was slow and seemed laborious. With the passing of months, much like time-lapse photography, I was able to see how much the magnets had altered my GI tract function, digestion, and transit time. Transit time is the time it takes for food to go from mouth to toilet. Instead of food going straight through my body, it was slowing down and taking longer. I went from going to the bathroom upwards of 50 times a day. Yes, I was counting. I had to follow every single detail of my body to find out what was and wasn't working. Many months later, I was only going to the bathroom about 20 times a day. The abdominal pain was also not impairing my emotion and mental states, which was a huge relief. Magnets slow digestion down. For someone with healthy digestion, it would likely cause problems during or after meals. For my body, it was absolutely crucial for me to have the magnets on during eating and after. It was essential to slowing down my digestion. The only time I took it off was to shower or take an Epsom salts bath. Even though I was sleeping on a therapeutic strength magnetic mattress pad, I would sleep with the magnets on my tummy too. The only way to know if something is good for a particular person, body, and condition is to try it. You can trust the body will tell you if you are headed in the right direction or not. As I played with magnets, I noticed how miraculous it was for the severe hunchback lymphatic swelling I frequently had in my low neck shoulder area. When it happened, it would last for months at a time. It was near impossible for me to turn my head in either direction. But putting the magnet on it relieved the sharp pain fairly quickly, and within a week the swelling would go down. While a week may seem like a long time, it was extremely short compared to the months of agony I would go through when it happened. I know now that the faster I put the magnets on, the better. The stories and experiences of me and others using magnets is too lengthy for this blog, but I will share that my mom used magnets for her chronic shoulder pain, pain which became far worse after surgery than it was before. A year or two of the magnets on and off, and now her shoulder is functional and very comfortable. She made an interesting observation worth mentioning. She noticed she had memory problems when the magnets were too close to her head when she slept. While some people need a magnetic pillow to fall asleep, others may have unpleasant effects from magnets too close to the head. The strength of the magnet will also be a determining factor. Shortly after she shared her observation, I read some research conclusively proving that strong magnetic fields altered people's behavior, choices, and decision-making process. So much so that the U.S. government and military agencies have become very interested in magnets. Cellular spin and rhythm. I have saved the best for last. Adjusting cellular spin and rhythm with a wand in either a clockwise or counterclockwise motion will remove pain within 5 to 15 minutes. It is the best because it has the quickest feedback time of 5 to 15 minutes. It is the most obscure and causes total mayhem for people's ideas and beliefs about what is and isn't possible. When a person has no relief from their pain in 5 to 15 minutes, then I know their pain is sourced from something that is not related to cellular spin and rhythm. There is little to no written information about this. The couple YouTube videos I have seen make it look like a total scam. I know for a fact it works. It doesn't work for everyone, nor every animal. Yes, I have used this on my animals. But it works on a great enough percentage of chronic conditions that it is worth investigating. Wands may be made of natural crystal, man-made crystal, or they may be objects such as the ionic wand or healing wand, which are filled with specific minerals and/or crystals. Each wand needs to be moved in a circular fashion, and each has a specific direction for success, clockwise or counterclockwise. My personal theory and understanding is that the motion, movement, and the use of the wand in circles realigns the synchronistic cellular spin while creating the needed rhythm. Particles spin, so does the earth. Why would cells not be spinning? When the spin and rhythm are out of sync, this disrupts the flow of communication and energy, which is the cause of pain. I liken it to the heart cells, which must all be beating in time with one another. The cells in the rest of the body may also have a synchronistic spin and rhythm too. The analogy I think of is an orchestra. Every instrument is on the same page of their music notes in time with everyone else, or they aren't. One is magical and the other is disastrous. I feel the wand magnifies the user's own energy, which funnels towards the site of imbalance in the sitter's body. The circular motion realigns the proper cellular spin, direction, and rhythm of cells. This new movement reestablishes a healthy pattern for spin and rhythm to allow the energy and communication to flow in harmonious ways. The new balanced environment is in sync and the pain subsides. Even though there is no physical contact between the user and the sitter, oftentimes the sitter actually feels something happening inside their body. It is such a surprising sensation that they actually say with great curiosity, confusion, and wonderment, "I can feel that." When I use the wand on someone's side of pain, it works in 5 to 15 minutes or it doesn't. When it doesn't work, it means the pain is caused by a different dynamic and it is time to try something else. Don't expect the same positive outcome in the same person for a different side of pain. It may work, but it may not. Each side of pain is the result of different dynamics. The wand worked miracles for my mom's knees, but did nothing for her ankle or shoulder. As of yet, I have never reaped the magic of the wand in my own body, but maybe one day I will have a condition that the wand can do its magic on. Not everyone has the right touch to produce positive outcomes for the sitter. I am not exactly sure why, and I have not noticed a pattern of why this is so. My health is poor, yet I have excellent results using the wand on others' pain. So it has nothing to do with good or bad body health. I know people who are perfectly healthy and can get no positive healing results on the pain of another using the wand. Try healing others with a wand and allow others to work on you to see if this is something of value for your body. A fun experiment. The results of the wand were so surprising that I did a little experience. I had many identical glasses of the same filtered water. In one glass of water, I wanded the water for about 5 minutes. Everyone tasted the unmarked glasses of water and made mental note which was different. Every single person clearly identified the glass of water that tasted different. I was so dumbfounded that it was so easy that I had to taste it too. When I tasted the waters, I saw for myself that they did indeed taste very different. Even today, it leaves curiously wondering and thinking how little we know about the world we live in. I know others who wand their foods before eating them. That is something I haven't experimented with, but maybe one day I will. What to keep in mind? I love learning information from experts, but I am aware of the shortcomings. Most experts give clear instructions of what to and what not to do without encouraging people to listen to and be guided by their body. Instructions are a great point from which to start. But from there, the body's responses should be the guide as to what will create the best outcomes. The body replies yes, no, more, less, put on, remove, do this, do that. Follow its lead. Experts have a lot of information, but you are the expert of your body. You know everything about it, and it is constantly talking to you. Remember, too, that whatever is circulating in the blood are the resources your body has to use. There is the old cliche expression, "You are what you eat." There is wisdom there. Imagine two houses which will be built with the same identical architectural plan. One site has cheap, bad quality building materials. The other has beautiful, high standard quality materials. Once they are built, which one would you want to live in? Which one will last longer? Which one will have fewer problems? Your choices, exposures, and intake are the building materials you give to your body. Make wise choices. Healing often relies on resources as well as increasing and balancing blood flow to the specific area. Many people are aware of supplements which are providing greater levels of comfort and healing to their body. If this is your case, then by all means make sure that the supplement is at high concentrations when increasing blood flow to that area. Be creative with natural solutions, follow your hunches, use common sense, and combine strategies for best outcomes. Be patient. The body may or may not respond as quickly as you want. Give the body a chance to make the changes and bring about healing. Your body wants to heal. It needs your help. Work with it. In closing, pain control is sometimes as simple as one action or inaction. Healing may require many aspects, allopathic, holistic, natural, or traditional methods, along with food choices, hydration, supplements, lifestyle change, and many home care methods. Patience is a virtue in healing. I say this, but I'm aware that patience is a passive participation and often a very uncomfortable one to wait through. My healing and pain management is a full-time job and lifestyle. The longer I do it, the easier it becomes. My own health recovery, which is still ongoing, has required judging no stone while leaving no stone unturned. One of the hardest challenges I may have ever encountered in my life was learning to hear, listen, honor, and trust my body. And at times it required that I thank experts for their offerings, but do differently than they advised, simply because my body was telling me loudly and clearly, no. It was also important to respond in kind to my body and help it rather than curse what it wasn't able to do. I am now my body's most loving and loyal Sherpa. It calls often, and I listen, hear, and respond. I do what I know has worked in the past, and if that doesn't work, I move forward towards my hunches and try new methods. When I test new ideas on my body, I wait for it to respond. When it gives me a thumbs down, then I evaluate the details. Is it the whole method or just one aspect of it that is not quite right? At times, my body isn't giving me a clear response. If my hunch feels like I am on the right path, I keep on keeping on until my body gives me a clear communication, yes or no. I am very careful not to categorize any method as good or bad. One person's miracle method will be another person's disaster. Each body is entirely unique and is constantly changing. Different conditions in different bodies will respond to different methods. My body is constantly changing, as is everyone else's. A remedy that doesn't work at one time for my body may very well be the solution at another stage in the healing process or for a different injury. Follow your hunches, judge no stone, and leave no stone unturned. Listen, hear, consider, and be grateful for others' guidance, but understand them as opinions rather than decrees. Pay attention to how you are making decisions. Are you avoiding injection therapy because you fear the needles? Make decisions based on the therapy and how it influences the body function, rather than on your fear. Good and appropriate therapies can be adjusted for each person's needs, concerns, and desires. And before I close out and wish you blessings and well-being, I want to share just a couple more very important thoughts. Do additional research. You are the only expert of your body. You live in it 24/7. I use internet for leads, ideas, customer reviews, and new information, but nothing replaces the value of book information, which has an author's name behind it. My reference library holds many books on each topic. I cross, double, and triple check everything. Use common sense. Do not use magnets near your heart if you have a pacemaker. Get the big picture. See the good and the bad. Few, if anything, is 100%. No professional nor expert knows everything. Listen to and trust your body. You are your body's expert. Your body is constantly chatting with you. Learn to listen. Each country and culture treats the same ailment differently. Find out what others are doing. Healing takes so much time and energy, takes a lot of thought and dedication. It's well worth it. This is Krista signing off until our next rendezvous online, and I wish you well-being and blessings to you all.